Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Today and every Sunday, for one full hour, the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements are brought to you by Philco Corporation. Makers today of radar and electronic equipment to help win the war. Makers tomorrow of products for good living in a world at peace. This afternoon, the Philco Radio Hall of Fame pays tribute to radio's great ad-lib comedian and quizmaster of Thanks to the Yanks, Bob Hawke. That young singing star, Rose Marie, familiar to millions as Baby Rose Marie in the past, Lieutenant Jackie Coogan, present Air Corps hero, Milton Caniff, creator of the comic strip Terry and the Pirates, and a special Radio Hall of Fame adaptation of one of the most popular programs on the air, Mr. District Attorney. And, of course, the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman, with the orchestra and chorus bidding you welcome to our springtime party with Great Day.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Our master of ceremonies this afternoon is a man who has won great fame as one of the most popular quizmasters on the air. And with this fame has come a reputation as the fastest ad-lib comedian in the radio profession. Your Radio Hall of Fame pays tribute to that talented comedian of Thanks to the Yanks, the man who gives away 500,000 cigarettes a week, Bob Hawke.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that introduction, Paul. Talented comedian, I hope you're not exaggerating.
Well, you are talented, aren't you?
Giving away 500,000 Camel cigarettes a week. Who needs talent?
Well, Mr. Hawke, I've always heard you referred to as the genius of the ad-lib.
Oh, thank you. And I've always thought of you as the genius of the baton.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hawke.
Oh, thank you, Mr. White.
Oh, no, thank you, Mr. Hawke.
You know, Paul, for a couple of geniuses, this conversation is pretty dull.
Say, Bob, this may be a trade secret, but about your program, do you pick all those questions yourself?
Oh, no, Paul. That's the hardest part connected with it. All the research is done by my research staff. They're busy as beavers. In fact, two of them are beavers. I wish I knew which two.
Well, look, without a script, how do you know how much time you have left on the air?
Oh, that's easy, Paul. The producer stands in the glass control room, and when he puts his hand to his chin, that means that we're going too fast.
Oh, I see.
And when he grabs his ear, that means that we're going too slow. And when he grabs his nose...
Yeah?
Means just what you think it does. I think I'll tell the story about the two old maids.
Oh, wait a minute, Bob. We must be running overtime. The producer is lifting his hand.
Is he putting it to his chin? No. Is he putting it to his ear? No. He's putting... I get it. For our guest, ladies and gentlemen, our first guest, the doors of our Radio Hall of Fame swing wide for a dainty young lady who is 20 years old, and she's had a great career of almost 20 years in show business. 20 years ago, I remember the night my governess took me to see her. Then I took my governess to the Stork Club. Our guest was a movie star in her toddling days, and you loved her. Now grown to a lovely young womanhood, she rates her place with us today for a new tangent of her talent. A popular singer of genuine accomplishment, here she is, baby Rose Marie. I mean, Rose Marie.
Though my heart goes pitter-patter, like the patter when it rains, Mama says it doesn't matter, 'cause it's only growing pains. But I'm lonesome for some loving, like a birdie in a cage. And I'm almost 21 now, which is practically middle age. My mama says, no, 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 no. When I want to roll my eyes, mama says it isn't wise, and my mama ought to know. Took off my bobby socks, put up my curly locks. Want to wear an evening gown, want to go and see the town, but my mama says, no, no. Oh, mama, 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 I'm a big girl now. Why are there so many things you won't allow? Mama, 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 won't you hear my plea? There are so many, 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 many places that I could go if I only had a boat. But I haven't got a date, so I guess I'll have to wait for another year or so. When along comes a fella and he hits his hat, mama says, no, no, no to that. Don't you shake your head from side to side, 'cause if you do that, then you can be a bride. Mama, 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 I wanna do this. Mama, 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 I wanna do that. Mama says, oh, honey, you can do this. Mama says, to that. Mama, 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 I'm a big girl now. Why are there so many things you won't allow? So many, many, many places that I could go if I only had a foe. But I haven't got a date, so I guess I'll have to wait for another year or so. The moon is hanging low, I thought that I ain't gone. When my mama said, no, no, no.
One of the greatest box office pictures of all time gave our next guest one right to appear with us in his own niche of the Radio Hall of Fame. He starred in that picture. But the years passed, and on the troubled theaters of the world, another grimmer drama was being enacted. Our next guest took his cue, moved on stage, and has played a part of shining heroism and bravery to clinch an all-time place in your Radio Hall of Fame. So, with a special fanfare... We welcome a young man who has won honors and distinction in the Burma invasion as Lieutenant John Leslie Coogan, affectionately known to millions of theater goers as the Kid, Jackie Coogan.
A Well, thank you very much, Bob.
You know, Jackie, I remember seeing you in that great movie, The Kid. What a wonderful job you did playing that pathetic little orphan, wearing those worn-out shoes and that tattered coat.
You know, Bob, I still have that coat at home.
And that old cap you used to wear.
I've still got that cap, too.
And that long, curly hair of yours.
I've still got the shoes, too.
Yes, I noticed the top of your head looks shiny where it once was curly. In fact, looking down from 5,000 feet, you must look like the victim of the scorched earth policy.
Thank you.
Anyway, Jackie, you make up for your lack of hair by all those campaign ribbons on your blouse. Tell me, what is that dark blue one there?
Well, that's the presidential citation our entire unit got in the China-Burma India Theater.
And what's this blue and white one here?
Well, that's an air medal. I got that in Burma.
Jackie, to most of us, Burma has either been a gal in a comic strip or something to shave with.
There were plenty of close shaves in Burma, all right, Bob.
I know. You boys who took part in that glider operation found it out, too. Tell us about it.
Well, the idea, you see, was to leapfrog this rugged Jap resistance and land airborne troops with gliders some 150 miles back of the Jap lines.
I get it. An army variation of putting your head in the lion's mouth.
Yes, or worse. The idea being that we could then land other troops and cut the Jap supply line and pinch them off. We were going in with General Old of the 1st Troop Carrier Command, which was responsible for the move-in and supply of the Burma Wingate operation. Colonel Philip Cochran was selected to head the mission.
Oh, yes, the man on whom the comic strip character Flip Corkin is based.
The same. Well, Colonel Cochran and the men he selected went to work. I went along in the glider troops.
As a pilot, I might add.
Oh, yes, we were trained for the maneuver. We had two objectives selected. They were named by our boys, Piccadilly and Broadway.
These places were back of the Jap lines?
Some 150 miles.
The lion's mouth for real.
Well, we were briefed, and Colonel Cochran said one thing I'll never forget. He said very simply, "A lot of you fellas are going to find out tonight that you've got a soul."
I know. I remember that from the papers.
Well, we took off.
And the rest is history. Brilliant history. Jackie, since you were the pilot of one of the first gliders to land behind the Jap lines, maybe you can give us some first-hand information about the Japs.
Well, Bob, there's a lot of curious things about the Japs. For instance, before a Jap soldier goes to the front, he gives a big party and meets all his relatives.
Yeah, then he runs into some of our boys and meets all his ancestors. Is there anything else you can tell us about things over there in the Pacific Theater, Jackie?
Well, one other thing, Bob, if I could get serious for a minute.
Certainly, Jackie.
You know, we soldiers kid and joke a lot about the war and the army and everything connected with it. But it's hard for a soldier to forget, even for a moment, how tough and miserable and dangerous the job really is. This war in Europe is growing to a climax. But when Hitler yells, "Comrade," the job still isn't over by a long shot. There are still 3.5 million Japs who have never been in combat yet. Despite all our victories, less than 2% of the land area in the Pacific is under our control. And on that 2% of land are thousands of our boys, in foxholes and on beachheads, dirty, tired, and homesick. But they won't quit until the job is finished. And they'd like to know that you won't either. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks a lot, Jackie, and stick around for a while. We've got somebody coming on a little later in the program who I know you've been wanting to meet for a long time. Say, Paul.
Yes, Bob.
We've just presented two stars who are famous for their accomplishments now as well as their accomplishments then. What have you got to offer in the now and then department?
Well, Bob, we'd like to do a number as we played it years ago for a recording.
Mm.
Then, with a wave of the magic wand, we turn loose our 45 musicians on a present-day arrangement.
What's the tune?
I Love You. It's from Little Jesse James. Incidentally, a Whiteman orchestra played for that show. The first time a complete musical comedy score was memorized and played through.
Work your old-time magic, Paul.
First, as we did it in the show, I Love You. Take it, boys.
Thank you.
today, as modern as the next minute. I love you. You got it once more.
Pops, that was swell. I've got a now and then, too. Right now, I want you to meet Glenn Riggs, and then we'll present one of your favorite radio programs, Mr. District Attorney. But before Mr. D.A., here's Mr. G.R.
Thank you, Mr. B.H. America has bought more than 17 million Philco radios and radio phonographs. In homes all over the country, they have built for Philco a reputation of leadership in radio engineering and quality. Many a man from these homes today, flying over targets in Europe and beachheads in the Pacific, has cause to be reminded of that engineering leadership. For in his plane, there's many a miracle of electronic research from the Philco laboratories, delivering at the battlefront the same service and reliability with which he was familiar at home. Philco engineers are serving only him today. When victory is won, they'll serve you in your homes again. And from the progress of electronic science for war, their engineering leadership will bring you new and greater joys from radio and recorded music under the Philco name, famous for quality the world over.
Our next entry in your Radio Hall of Fame is a radio program sponsored each Wednesday night by the Bristol-Myers Company. It has been unanimously chosen for this nomination by you, the listeners. According to polls and surveys made in the past year, it is your favorite dramatic program. There is a lofty pedestal in your Hall of Fame for this next offering, written by Jerry Devine and starring Jay Johnston, Len Doyle, and Vicky Vola. You will now hear one of the finest of their many fine performances, The Case of the Perfect Frame-Up, presenting
Mr. District Attorney, champion of the people, defender of truth, guardian of our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it shall be my duty as district attorney not only to prosecute to the limit of the law all persons accused of crimes perpetrated within this county, but to defend with equal vigor the rights and privileges of all its citizens.
Our case tonight opens in the private office of one John Barry, a political figure in your district attorney's city. Barry and his chief henchman, Chick Stone, are seated before a radio, preparing to tune in an important address that the district attorney is making to the citizens of his county.
That's the station, Chick. Just let the radio warm up,
too.
Okay.
I'm known, ladies and gentlemen.
There he is.
That some of you may question my right to be concerned with black market operations. Now, let me clarify this. When you, as citizens, willfully or otherwise, purchase food or other commodities above the ceiling prices set by our government, you are putting money directly into the pockets of thieves and racketeers. And thieves and racketeers are my concern. At this very moment here in our city, there are shortages of familiar and important food items. I want to tell you the reason for these shortages.
Here it comes. Yeah.
Certain vicious elements employing gangster methods have deliberately cornered the market on these items for personal profit. There is one individual behind this low traitorous racket. I know who this man is. I'm not in a position to reveal his name at this time.
Turn him off, Chief.
But in the very near future...
That's enough of that.
You think he was leveling, boss?
Why, sure.
Think he knows you're behind this thing?
I'm sure he does.
Not so good. He's out to get you. He's no easy touch.
Well, you seem to be forgetting, Chick, that I can throw a bit of weight around in this town myself.
I know, but if he's got evidence...
If he had enough evidence, he'd have mentioned my name.
Oh?
Right now, he's still shooting in the dark.
And you don't figure he'd get anything on you?
I didn't say that. If you give him enough time, he can get plenty on me.
You think so?
Why, of course.
Well, then what can you do?
Cooperate with him.
What?
Instead of wasting time, give him all the evidence he needs on me right now.
Are you kidding?
Not a bit.
What's the gimmick?
There isn't any gimmick. I fully intend that by tomorrow morning, our dear district attorney will receive a complete and authentic picture of our setup from top to bottom.
Excuse me, Chief. Can
yes.
I come in?
Come right ahead, Herring.
What are you all so excited about?
Boy, have I got a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just hit the jackpot, Chief.
Well, what do you mean?
We finally got a chance to nail down Mr. John Berry.
Well, that's interesting. How?
Well, last night, a little punk by the name of Benny Winston was caught red-handed trying to hijack a truckload of potatoes.
Who's Benny Winston?
He's a member of Chick Stone's mob, which is the same thing as saying that he's on Mr. Berry's payroll.
Yes, I know that.
Well, they take this Winston to headquarters, and right away he starts yelling for a mouthpiece.
So this was last night?
Yeah, that's right, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
He sends out an SOS for the regular lawyer that the mob uses, but the guy don't show all night long.
Did he actually contact the lawyer?
Yeah, he did, Miss Miller, but he don't get no action. So along about noontime today, the little punk gets sore. He thinks the mob is handing him one.
I see.
He sends word to the jailer that he wants to see you and cop a plea.
Well, sir, that is good news.
Yeah, ain't it? Well, the guy's right outside now. Can I bring him in?
Yes, by all means.
Okay, I'll be right with you.
Well, this sounds like the break you've been waiting for, Chief.
Yes, certainly does.
Right in here. Go ahead, son.
Yes.
Ah, there you are, Chief. You remember Benny Winston.
Yes. Hello, Winston.
Hi.
Sit down.
Yeah, here, sit.
Thanks.
Yeah, this guy's got a few things he wants to spill, Chief.
I see.
Shall I take this down, Chief?
Yes, please, Miss Ryan. Now, what's on your mind, Winston?
Well, I want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. See if I can get a break. I'm a 3-time loser, Mr. D.A. The punks I've been working with have left me holding a bag.
How?
Well, for one thing, they run out of me on the job we was doing. Mm-hmm. And just for toppers, they don't send me no mouthpiece, neither.
Yeah, he figures they're throwing him to the wolves, Chief.
Whom have you been working for?
Chick Stone, and above him, Mr. John Berry.
I told you this was the jackpot.
Are you able to link Berry and Stone with their black market operation?
Sure, all the way.
We want names, dates, and everything.
Listen, I can even throw in murder.
With Berry mixed up in it?
Sure.
Then start talking, Winston.
Can I see you a minute, Berry?
Yeah, come in. What's on your mind, Chick?
I just heard about Benny Winston.
What do you mean?
He's being picked up last night. I hear you give orders not to spring him.
That's right.
What's the idea?
Well, in the first place, I arranged to have Benny picked up.
Why?
I wanted him sent to jail.
Did he cross you on something?
No.
Well, then what place?
Benny went there as a favor to me.
What?
He's doing a little job for me.
In jail?
Yeah.
Look, boss, I wish you'd quit talking in riddles.
Chick, you remember my telling you last night that I intended to give the district attorney all the evidence he needed against us?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Benny is doing right now.
You mean real evidence?
Yeah.
Well, what's the idea?
Well, I want the district attorney to have a complete case against him.
Boss, it was anybody else but you talking. I swear it was nutty as a fruitcake.
Poor chick, I really got you worried, haven't I?
Oh, do you blame me?
No.
What's the idea of all this?
Well, it's part of a very definite plan. And I think our friend the DA will fall for it completely.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, this is what I have in mind.
Well, Chief?
Yes?
I've been out checking up on some of that stuff Benny Winston gave us.
Yes?
It's the real McCoy, every bit of it.
Sure. You know, I had a feeling he was telling the truth.
Yeah, well, when do we move in on Burying Stone?
As soon as the indictments are drawn up.
Oh, brother, will this be a sweet one to crack open?
Yes, yes. There's just one precaution I think we should take, Hans.
Yeah? What's that?
Well, Winston is afraid, and rightfully so, that Barry might get to him in some fashion before our case ever gets to court.
Oh.
Well, Barry's a powerful figure in this town. We mustn't overlook that.
No.
His political connections have undoubtedly enabled him to plant henchmen and spies in various civic jobs.
What, you mean in the county jail, too?
Oh, yes, yes. There have been cases before, you know, of an important witness presumably committing suicide in his cell just before a trial.
Yeah, sure, that's right. Well, what do you think we should do with the guy?
Well, Winston asked me if I'd hide him away someplace, so I agreed to do it.
Whereabouts?
I think my cottage down on the shore might be the best spot.
Hmm? Sure.
It worked the last time when we put those witnesses in the Dover case down there.
Sure, sure. When do you want to do it?
As soon as possible.
How about tonight?
Yes, that's my plan.
Where's Winston now?
Well, I sent him back to the county jail. I've arranged for you to pick him up there.
Uh-huh. You want me to bring him down to the cottage?
Yes, yes, Harrington. And once you get him set, I'll have two men sent over from the local precinct to guard him.
Okay, Chief. I'll get started right now.
That's the house, Chick.
You sure, boss?
Yeah. Then he gave the jailer the address.
Oh.
I guess that's the cop's car in the driveway.
Uh-huh.
I'd better wait right here.
Okay.
Remember what I told you to do, Chick?
Sure, sure.
Well, go ahead.
Right.
Harrington in there?
Yeah. Who is it?
I'm from Precinct 5.
Oh. Okay.
I've been waiting for you.
Okay, boss. Come on.
Right.
Benny, you in here?
Yeah, yeah. I've been waiting for you.
Hello, Benny.
Hiya, boss.
It was the only cop, wasn't it?
Yeah. The jailer told you that, didn't he, Mr. Barry?
Yeah, he also said two other policemen were due here later.
Yeah, that's right.
What do we do with this bum?
How well did you hit him?
Real good. It'll be a long time coming around.
Drag him in that room there. Lock the door.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll give you a hand, Chick.
No, you stay here, Benny. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
You better frisk that cop, Chick, just in case.
Right. Well, so far this is working out just like you wanted it to, boss.
Yeah, you've done a good job, Benny.
What's next?
Well, I got another duty for you to perform.
Just name your ticket, whatever you say.
Here, take this piece of paper and this pen.
Yeah, sure.
I want you to copy this little note I prepared. It has to be in your handwriting.
Oh, okay. Wait till I sit down here.
That takes care of the cop, boss.
Oh, fine.
This here's a letter to my sister, huh?
Yeah. Copy it just as it's written, man.
Sure.
Boss, when do you think them real cops is going to show?
Well, they're not due for a while yet.
Huh?
Still don't want to waste any time here, though.
I know.
How are you coming with that, Benny?
Oh, just a second now, boss. I'm almost done.
I want you to address an envelope, too.
Sure. Now, here's a note.
All right. Read it.
Okay. Dear Mabel, the DA's got me hit away. He's beating me up real bad trying to make me talk. I need help. And I signed it, your brother Benny.
That's fine. Now address the envelope.
Okay. I address it to her house, huh?
That's right.
Is the copy you used, boy?
Oh, yeah, we don't want to leave that here.
Say, Mr. Barry.
Yeah, Benny?
What's the idea you have me write that note? You really wanted to think the DA's been shellacking me?
Yeah, I want her to turn that over to someone in authority.
Oh. Yeah, but they might check and find out it ain't true.
We plan on taking care of that, Benny.
Oh. What do you mean?
Check means that it's going to be true.
I'm going to get beat up, Mr. Barry?
Exactly.
Who's going to do it?
I guess I'm elected, Benny.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Of course, this wasn't in a deal.
Shall I use the blackjack?
Yeah.
Oh.
That may be enough. Wait a minute, I'll feel his pulse.
Well?
The district attorney has just killed a witness.
Harrington's still here, Chief. There's his car.
Yes, yes.
You know, I haven't been down here to this cottage since the Dover case last summer.
Oh, I haven't either, Miss Miller.
Do you have a key, Chief?
Yes, I've got it right here. Yeah, there we are. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Harrington. Harrington.
He must be in the back someplace.
Yeah, well, I'll take a look. Wait a minute.
What, Chief?
Look there.
Good heavens, it's Winston.
And I'd advise you not to look too closely, Miss Miller.
Oh, that's awful. Is he dead?
I'm just finding out. Yes. Yes, he is.
How did that happen? Where's Harrington?
That's what I want to know.
Do you think he's still here in the cottage?
Well, we'll see. There are only two other places he could be, this bedroom here or the kitchen.
Is he there, Chief?
Yes, yes, he's here.
Is he alive, Chief?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Oh, thank goodness.
But I'd say that he'd been unconscious for some time.
Well, can I do something for him?
Well, there's only one thing to do. We've got to get him to a hospital at once.
Yes, sir.
Call the police and the coroner. Right. Have them come here for Winston. I'll take Harrington out of the car. How is Harrington this morning, Miss Miller?
Well, he seems a little better.
Oh, that's good.
Did you find anything out at the cottage?
No. Oh, no clues. But I've learned what this thing is all about now.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes. Take a look at this newspaper. Yeah, read the headline.
Charged that D.A. kills witness in third-degree grilling.
Mm-hmm.
Chief, why that means...
Yes, Miss Miller. It means that I walked into the neatest trap that was ever prepared.
Trap?
Yes, I'm convinced now that this whole thing was a plant from beginning to end. Mr. John Berry is behind this thing. He set up Winston's arrest. He arranged for the confession he gave me.
Winston's confession was fixed?
Yes, I'm sure of it. He also had Winston ask me to hide him away.
Well, then Barry killed him.
I'd say so, yes, but unfortunately I have no proof.
Well, how did the papers get this story?
Winston sent a letter to his sister. She received it this morning. In it, he accused me of beating him in order to get information. It's all the newspaper story, Dad.
Yes, but how could he have said it?
He must have written it last night before he died.
But why should he do that?
I don't think he knew that he was going to be double-crossed in this thing, too.
And Barry is responsible for knocking Harrington out and half-killing him.
Yes, yes, that's my belief.
But, Chief, if Harrington regains consciousness, he can prove that the whole thing is a lie.
Oh, I don't think so. Barry is clever. He'll have taken care of that. There's a veiled insinuation in that story that Harrington was put in the hospital just to make an alibi for us.
Oh, Chief, of all the low tricks.
Yes, we're in a pretty tight corner.
You mean you think this charge might stand up?
Yes, yes. There's a very good chance that it will.
Oh, Chief, isn't there anything you can do?
Well, I have only one thing in mind. I don't know what good it'll do, but I'm going to pay a call on Mr. Barry. Now, you get some rest, Miss Miller, and I'll come back here to the hospital as soon as I'm through.
Sit down, Mr. District Attorney.
Very well.
Well, this is rather a surprise, you're coming here.
I guess you know why I've come, don't you, Barry?
No.
I want to talk to you about Benny Winston.
Oh, I see. I was just reading about that this morning. Yeah, that was rather unfortunate.
For whom?
Well, for Winston, of course, and for you, too, I guess.
Suppose we get right down to cases, Barry.
What do you mean?
I know that you're responsible for Winston's death.
I'm...
That's right.
Oh, come now. I mean,
I must compliment you on the thoroughness of your frame-up, but you're not going to get away with it.
What in the world are you talking about?
I'm saying that you were clever enough to get me before I could corner you.
Well, I accept the compliment, but it's really not deserved.
Now, listen, Barry. I didn't come here to do any verbal fencing. I just left the city hospital. My best friend is lying in a bed there unconscious. He may die. He's there because of you.
Yeah?
This frame-up is secondary. He's my real concern. And you're going to pay for what you did to him.
Now, look, D.A., I know you're in a spot. I know that right now several civic organizations are howling for your scalp. But now, look, instead of fighting me with your fantastic threat, You ought to consider the fact that maybe I could help you.
I didn't come here for that.
Well, now, it's worth considering.
Listen, I have enough on you and your black market operations to get a conviction without Winston's testimony.
Wouldn't it be kind of difficult to prosecute after you've been removed from office?
I'm still the district attorney.
Only for the time being. Look, would you excuse me now? I really have got a lot of work to do.
Very well.
If you should change your mind about needing my help, just send for me.
Come in. Oh, hello, Chief. Gee, I'm glad you're here.
How's Harrington?
Well, he seems to be showing signs of regaining consciousness.
Good, good.
The nurse just went out to get the doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, Chief, he seems to be coming around.
Yeah. That's all right, old boy. It's all right. Just take it easy.
There now. Yeah. Don't try to move, Harrington.
Oh, Miller. Is that you?
Yes, Harrington. The chief is right here, too.
Where am I?
You're in the city hospital, Harrington.
Hospital?
Yeah. Yes, and everything's all right.
Hey, Chief, did you get him? Did you get those guys?
You're talking about the killing.
Yeah.
Get those guys.
Yeah, did you see them, Harrington?
Get him, Chief, get him.
Now, take it easy, Harrington. He's getting delirious, Chief.
Dover case, Chief. Same as in the Dover case.
Now, please, Harrington, be quiet, will
you? Same as in the Dover case.
Take it easy.
Get him.
Harrington.
Get him.
He's passed out again.
Yes.
I thought for a minute he was trying to tell us something, but all he talked about was the Dover case.
Hey, wait a minute, Miss Miller. Maybe he was telling us something.
Really?
Yes. You stay here. I'm going back down to that cottage. Well, come in, Mr. Barry.
Thank you.
I appreciate you coming here to my office.
Well, you remember what I told you, Mr. D.A. I said any time you needed help, just send for me.
Yes. Yes, I decided to take advantage of your offer. Sit down.
Thank you.
I should have asked you to bring along your friend, Mr. Stone.
Well, this is a bit out of his line.
I see.
Well, according to the afternoon papers, the pressure is really on you now, Mr. D.A.
Yes. Yes, I know that.
Yeah, looks like you need me rather badly, that you sent for me just in time.
Well, to tell you the truth, Barry, that isn't why I asked you to come here at all.
Oh, no?
No. You see, I've just come from that little cottage where Winston was murdered.
So?
I found something there that might be of interest to you.
Oh, really?
Yes. My assistant, Harrington, was the one who called my attention to it. You see, there was a concealed microphone in that cottage. We had planted it there for another case. Harrington turned on the recording device before he passed out. Listen.
I'm going to get beat up, Mr. Barry?
Exactly.
Who's going to do it?
I guess I'm elected, Benny.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Boss, this wasn't in the deal.
Well, shall I play any more of it, Mr. Barry? Or have you heard enough?
That's quite enough.
Now we'll get your friend, Mr. Stone, and book you both for murder.
Friends, it's been a pleasure to honor Mr. District Attorney on your Radio Hall of Fame.
It was the Philco nameplate on the door, as well as its new and advanced features, that led thousands of women to choose a Philco refrigerator before the war. For in millions of homes, the Philco name is known for quality and dependability. And during these years, when Philco owners learned to appreciate the value of its exclusive features, like the full-size separate compartment for frozen foods, they also learned the full meaning of the dependability which Philco builds into its products. When the tasks of war are done and Philco refrigerators appear again on your dealer's floors, behind their modern features will be the promise of years of trouble-free service and satisfaction. The promise of the Philco name, famous for quality the world over. We
We will continue with your Radio Hall of Fame after a brief pause for station identification. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company. Back in the Radio Hall of Fame now, where we pay tribute to Lieutenant Jackie Coogan, Milt Caniff, creator of Terry and the Pirates, Rose Marie, the full dramatic radio program, Mr. District Attorney, Paul Whiteman, the orchestra and chorus, and your master of ceremonies, Bob Hawke. As Bob Hawke is appearing on the Radio Hall of Fame in tribute to his exceptional ability as a quiz master and ad-lib comedian, we present him now doing that for which he's most famous. We've picked two servicemen from the audience whom Bob has never met before. Ladies and gentlemen, in an unrehearsed, unprepared, and completely unpredictable quiz, we present Bob Hawke.
Thank you very much. We have two service people here, sir. Will you tell me your name?
Right. George Wright.
George Wright. Well, I'm glad I'm not wrong. Where are you from, George?
I'm from Innisfail, Alberta.
What?
That's Canada. Innisfail, Alberta, Canada.
How's the name pronounced?
Innisfail.
Innisfail. How do you spell it?
I-N-N-I-S-F-A-I-L.
That's exactly right. I just wanted to be sure. What did you do before you were in the service?
Well, I was going to school.
And where did you go to school?
In Innisfail.
In Innisfail. In what school?
The Innisfail School.
I see. I went to Pickpockets Polytechnic in Brooklyn. I'm glad to have you here. What year were you in school when you left the service?
It was 2 years ago.
And how many years had you gone?
Well, offhand, I couldn't quite say.
I see. What school was it again?
The Innisfail School.
I just wanted to be sure. What do you expect to do when you're out of the service?
I want to go on to university.
On to the university? Right. Would you tell me this? What is the difference between excuse me and I beg your pardon? That's all you have to tell me. There's your question. What is the difference between excuse me and I beg your pardon? Now think back. Excuse me. You remember when you were in school. What is the difference between excuse me and I beg your pardon? Can you tell me?
They'll both serve the same purpose, I believe.
Well, no. For example, if I bumped into you, I would either say excuse me or I beg your pardon. If I left to leave you, I would say excuse me or I beg your pardon. Now, which do I say in which place?
If you bump into me, you'd say, I beg your pardon.
That's right. And if you left, you'd say, excuse me. In other words, if you're standing on top of the Empire State Building with your girl and you sneeze, you say, I beg your pardon. But if the sneeze blows you off the building as you leave, you say, excuse me. That's it, okay? All right, fine. With the sailor here, would you tell me your name, please? Johnny what?
Dawkins.
Where are you from, Johnny?
Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine. Fine. What did you do before you were in the service?
I went to sea with my father.
You what?
I went to sea with my father.
You went to sea? Your father was a sailor, is that right?
A captain.
A captain, sir. Have you ever milked a cow? No, you haven't? Well, this is in the bag. I want to give you a question about milking a cow. Tell me. You're to tell me two different ways that you could keep a cow's tail from swishing in your face if you were milking the cow. That's all you have to do. Tell me two different ways, huh?
I'd drive two stakes in the ground and tie it down.
Drive two stakes in the ground and tie it down. What? Go ahead.
Tie two lines to the stakes and to its tail.
Tie two lines to the stake and to its tail. Or you could tie a small boy on the end of the tail. Have you ever been hit in the face with a small boy? It would work out very well. I think you boys have both done very well. We can't give you 3,000 camels tonight, but in honor of that, we're going to give you 3,000 slow-burning kisses from baby Rose Marie and $25 to help pay your amusement tax. Okay? From coast to coast, from border to border, this week they're all clamoring for a cute caper and counterpoint, which we point to with pride. Next on your Radio Hall of Fame, sweet and syncopated by Paul Whiteman, the orchestra and chorus, with lovely Rose Marie taking the melodic lead, is your Radio Hall of Fame's nomination for the tune of the week, Candy.
Because I'm sweet on candy, and candy's sweet on me. He understands me, my understanding candy, and
Fame now pays honor to a man who has created characters as great and unforgettable as Tom Sawyer, Huckleberry Finn, or Oliver Twist. He has taken the comic strip and made it an important work of art and medium of telling an adventure story. His original drawings have been hung in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the Chicago Art Institute, and Boston Symphony Hall. His cartoon strip is read by 31 million people daily, and a radio adaptation of the strip is one of the most popular of its kind. That's the ticket of admission to your Radio Hall of Fame for our next artist, Milton Caniff, creator of Terry and the Pirates.
Thanks, Bob, and hello to everybody on behalf of Terry, Flip, Pat, Hotshot, Charlie.
And don't forget the Dragon Lady, who's she, and especially Burma, my favorite pinup girl.
Thanks to the Yanks, Bob, she's the GI favorite the world over.
Milt, you gotta tell me, how about some inside dope? How are Terry and Hotshot Charlie going to get away from the Japs? Come on, I'll give you a nickel if you tell them.
I can't do it, Paul. It's not ethical.
Oh,
now, Milt, you can tip your mitt to me on this. Flip Corkin is based on a real character, isn't he?
Yes, Bob. Flip is based on Colonel Philip Cochran, now Assistant Operations Officer of the 1st Airborne Army, knocking on the door of Berlin.
I thought so. Well, all the characters seem real to me. I know that I felt very bad when Raven Sherman died.
Well, on that, I got more than 1,500 letters and telegrams and flowers and protests for letting her die.
Wait till you get your mail on Snake Tumblin. Why did you let him get killed?
Well, my lads and Terry and the Pirates, Bob, are in a shooting war. And somebody's bound to get hurt. I like to keep it realistic.
Milt, I still want to know how Terry and Hotshot Charlie get out of this. Come on, tell me. I'll give you a dime.
Now, Paul, you wouldn't want me to violate me oath. Cartoonists never tell.
Milt, you've modeled Flip Corkin after a real person. How about Terry and Burma?
Well, I just dreamed them up, Bob, but the Army Air Force has given Terry a real Army serial number. The British Crown is going to give Burma an official pardon for having been a lady pirate. Maybe.
Milt, Jackie Coogan fought and flew with Colonel Cochran. Come over, Jackie.
Hi, Milton. Congrats. You know you've got Colonel Cochran down to a T. And all that Burma and China background. You must have lived there for years.
No, Jack, I've never been there in my life. I got it all out of books.
Well, there were times when I wished I'd gotten it that way, too.
Milt, I gotta know what's gonna happen to Terry Hotshot. Give me a quarter, no fooling. I'm gonna dream about it.
You dream about it.
Oh, you don't dream about it, do you?
Don't I, Paul? The other night after I'd worked on the drawing 4 days and four nights with practically no sleep, I fell into an armchair before the fire. I was all confused. I was thinking about the strip and thinking of being on the Philco Hall of Fame. I got the characters in a particularly tight spot, and I would almost figure a way out, and then I'd remember the Hall of Fame. I fell asleep. I was horrified to find I was tied to a stake in the Burma jungle. I heard voices.
We've got you at last.
Who are you?
Terry Lee. Who else?
And these others?
We're waiting for the Dragon Lady.
Don't you remember me? Hotshot Charlie.
Oh.
We've got to wait for the Dragon Lady.
And this girl.
Don't you know Burma? Da 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 da.
Oh, Burma, what are you doing here?
Waiting for the dragon lady.
What are you waiting for the dragon lady for? Untie me.
We've got to wait for the dragon lady. She's got the matches.
The matches? What do you need matches for, Burma?
To light the fire. The better to cook you with, dear.
Oh.
And here she comes now. The dragon lady.
Hello, dear.
Am I late?
You're not the dragon lady.
Why, Milt, I sure am. I sure am.
Have you got the matches?
Nice, long kitchen matches, see?
Doesn't it burn nice?
Ah, now we'll give Kniff the fast burn for the slow burn he's given us in Burma.
Ouch, you heathens! You're burning me alive!
Lousy heathens, he called us. Me, the dragon lady. For that, we'll give him the mandarin's curse. Fie, fie upon thee, evil man!
Hot-foot boy with face and tan.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Boy, oh boy, has he got trouble.
He's in trouble and there's no doubt.
Shall we be heroes and bail him out?
Bail him out? Not on your life.
Let him stew, that milk knife.
Double, double, toil and trouble.
Fire burn and cauldron bubble.
Let it burn till he's nice and roasted.
So round, so firm. So fully toasted.
No! I can stand it! I can stand it!
Well, now you see, Milt, that's how Terry and the pirates feel about it when you get them in a jam.
Yes, I guess I'd better swear off. Dragon Lady, Paul...
Listen, Milt, no fooling. How does Terry and Hotshot Charlie and who's she get out of the spot they're in?
All right, Paul. Here's a nickel. You go buy a paper and see for yourself.
We want to thank Milton Kniff for being with us tonight. And while we're in the thanking department, I'd like to thank those Yanks who are pounding at the doors of Berlin and Tokyo so that soon we can all make way for that peaceful tomorrow.
Thank you.
tomorrow. Break up the bank for a brand new tomorrow. Let every heart be a drum, beating for great day to come. Let there be song everywhere.
Hawk will be back in just a moment. In the achievements of the Philco laboratories and production lines, there is a Philco tradition which war research and engineering has served to enhance. It is expressed in the phrase, Philco, famous for quality the world over. War has added new meaning to this tradition. Members of our armed forces from air, sea, and land are giving testimony to the quality in action of Philco electronic battle equipment. Tomorrow, the new techniques which Philco has developed for war will be reflected in the products of peace. They will be yours in the Philco tradition of quality, built up over the years in millions of American homes.
Next week, the Philco Corporation brings you the stars made great by your recognition of their achievements. Olson and Johnson, who are celebrating their 30th anniversary as partners in show business. Mildred Bailey, Milton Cross, the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman, the orchestra and chorus. This is Bob Hawk. Thank you and good afternoon.
Each Sunday at this time, Philco Corporation brings you your Radio Hall of Fame in the name of Philco dealers and distributors throughout the United States and Canada. This visit to your Radio Hall of Fame will be transmitted to our men and women overseas by shortwave and through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is the Blue Network of the American Broadcasting Company.